Satan, as it were, to use a fishing analogy, he baits the hook very, very well, presenting arguments to your mind as to why a particular behavior or a particular pattern of thought or a particular cherished attitude is something that you should pursue.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, are you much of a fisherman?
I am not, actually.
Yeah, you're not? I'm not either. It's been a long time.
I like to eat them more than catch them.
I grew up fishing, but it's probably been 20 plus years. But one of the things that I do remember is that you had to bait the hook right, and you had to use the right type of bait.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that analogy, I think, works well in terms of describing the power of sin within our lives, that we're lured, that we're enticed.
Yeah.
James says that each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. That's got the fishing analogy right there,
sure.
The lure. You know, the way that sin works is that it builds a position in a person's life. It becomes more powerful as we give way to it over longer periods of time.
Yeah.
And therefore, the strategy for breaking a stronghold of sin in a person's life is to come against it in the power of the Holy Spirit, to do it at the earliest opportunity, and to do it with great force and with great perseverance. We're going to look at what that warfare is actually like,
yeah,
so that we're actually able to engage it and to make progress against the power of sin that so easily builds within even a Christian's own heart and life.
Well, I like the fact that you called that warfare, because that's what today's message is all about. In fact, it's entitled Guerrilla Warfare, and we are in James chapter 1. So if you can, grab a Bible and join us there as we begin today's message. Here's Pastor Colin.
We're continuing to look at the inside story of the Christian life. And we saw last time that this is a life that we live in the body, and it's a life that we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And we've been learning that we are to understand these two realities of the Christian life. You have new life because you're in Jesus Christ, but you also have some new battles because you're living this life in the body. And we saw last time that these are the twin tracks of Christian experience. A Christian then is a person who lives in Christ and in the body at the same time, and so experiences this strange enigma that on the one hand, the life of Christ is within you, and on the other hand, an ongoing struggle is within you in Christ and in the body. Now, today, we're going to focus on what this struggle actually looks like, and I've called the message guerrilla warfare because indwelling sin, that is the impulse to sin that remains in the flesh of a Christian believer, fights rather like a guerrilla warfare all of your life. And so I hope you have your Bible open at James and chapter 1. This is really the first part of a two-part message. We're going to focus on what this battle is like today, and then next week, God willing, we'll focus a little more on how we are to fight it. Let's look at what the battle is like then. James chapter 1 and verse 14. Here it is. Each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Very important scripture to know and to understand. Do you see that very simply here, James gives to us five stages in the life of sin? It begins with the evil desire. There's a desire that pulls at your soul, or it entices your soul. And then we read secondly that this evil desire conceives. What that means very simply is that it gains the consent of the will. Something settles within the mind. Yes, this I am going to do. Then after evil desire conceives, we're told sin is born. And when sin is born, it has by definition its own life. One sin is never an end within itself. Left unchecked, here's what will happen. It will grow. Sin grows. And if the growth of sin is not cut back, then in the end, sin will produce death. Now, there's a famous line that is in the story of Samson. You remember that Samson was seduced by Delilah on one occasion, and he's asleep, and then suddenly, because Delilah is betraying him and the Philistines have come, Delilah wakens him up and says, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And the struggle with the Christian life is this, that our enemy is not only upon us, our enemy actually has an entrance within us. There is the enemy outside, as it were, the world and the flesh and the devil. But our focus today is on the enemy inside, the traitor within our own hearts, as it were, the flesh that is drawn to sin and so easily enticed. Now, it's very important to understand this so that you can figure out what is going on in your Christian life and experience, and then discover how to move forward and to grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Sinclair Ferguson, an insightful writer, describes in this way what is going on in the Christian's life. He says this, "The enemy that we face attacks us from the outside of our hearts and moves inward to draw our affections towards themselves and away from the Lord. But," he says, "the power of our enemy rests on a further factor, namely, the landing ground that they are able to find within our own lives." The landing ground that sin is able to find within our own lives. He goes on to point out that there was nothing in our Lord Jesus' character that could ever be employed as a kind of natural fulcrum on which sin could lever its way into Jesus' life. That is why the Lord Jesus was able to say, "Satan has no hold over me." All sin was outside of him. But it is different for us. For us as Christians, there is a base of operations from which sin is able to work as long as we are in the body. Now, that very simple picture of there being a landing ground within my own life for sin, a landing ground within your own flesh for sin, I have found that picture to be profoundly helpful in understanding what is going on in the Christian life. Let me play out the picture a little more. Imagine that we are living on an island, a small island in some remote part of the world. There's a population of only a few hundred of us and thousands of sheep. And the island belongs to our king, and it is his by sovereign right. But enemies on one occasion invade the island, and they take us captive, and then on another day, the king comes with his army and he marvelously sets us free. The island is liberated. We are able to live under the blessing of the king's rule. But somewhere in a secret corner of the island, there is a hidden landing. And every night, there are one or two enemy agents that land in that hidden place. Their aim is always the same. It is sabotage. It is subversion. The problem for us is that these enemies who land at night operate largely in secret. They are largely hidden. They largely do their work at night. They do things like take a single brick out of a wall in a building, and then another and another, and eventually a wall in a building looks like cheese with holes in it. You think, this building's being sabotaged. It's going to fall down. But you didn't notice it for a long time. They pollute the water so that the people will become sick and so forth and so on. Only occasionally do they ever mount an open attack. But then it's easy to see them and you know what you're up against. Most of the people on the island, because their activity is largely hidden, are scarcely aware of their activity at all. Now, I'm going to quote from a great Christian writer by the name of John Owen on a number of occasions tonight. I think that by wide consent, there is no writer in all of Christian history who has been used by God to have such great insight into the internal struggle that goes on in a believer's life And I have found John Owen to be so helpful as a shaft of light into the truth of the Bible that I've wanted to share some of what has helped me so much in the hope that it will also be helpful to you. Owen says, this gives you a sample of his thinking, we fight an enemy whose strength is secret and whose presence is hidden. So often when we think sin has been destroyed, it is merely out of sight. It has coverts and retreats into which we cannot pursue. You see, there are these hidden landing places. And the flesh provides the landing place for sin. Which is why, so long as you are in the body, you will experience the struggle that every Christian knows with temptation. Sin is not your master, as we saw last time, but it will always be your enemy. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, he overthrows sin's rule, but he does not eradicate sin's presence. Think about the difference between Teflon and Velcro. Yeah, Teflon is that wonderful non-stick surface. You know, you fry your eggs on it in the morning and they just slide off absolutely beautifully if you've got the right stuff on your frying pan. But stuff sticks to Velcro. And you have to prise it off. And the flesh is like Velcro to sin, and sin is like Velcro to the flesh. It sticks. And the flesh provides a landing place, Sinclair Ferguson says so helpfully, for sin in your life. So this is the enemy. Sin is the enemy with which we all and always have to contend. Well, let's look at what we're up against. Let's look at what this battle is like. Well, you notice three things from James in chapter 1. The first is that sin entices. That's what he says, and so we are to name it and confess it. Sin entices, so name it and confess it. Each one, verse 14, is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Each one. Nobody is exempt from this. However much you have progressed within the Christian life, each one, he says, is in some way pulled, is in some way enticed. If you think that you're somehow beyond this, or that this does not affect you, or that this is not about you, then sin has really deceived you, because it is never more active than when you think it is silent and when you think it is gone. You don't ever grow out of it. The scene of the battle may change. The particular form of the temptation may evolve and change over the years of your life, but the conflict never ends. Each one. So I ask you, because we're here in order to grow in our walk with God, I ask you to think about this question. What are the evil desires to which you are enticed and tempted? And I plead with you, don't simply think of those things that are within the sexual sphere that so often are the first things to come to our mind. What about pride? What about worry? What about bitterness? What about self-confidence? What about laziness? What about prayerlessness? What pulls at you? Jerry Bridges has written an outstanding book by the title Respectable Sins. And the reason for that title is that he points out that many of us Christians are pretty good at identifying the obvious sins in the culture. We can see the sins that are out there, but sometimes we're not quite so good at identifying the subtle sins that hang out in here, in the hidden secret crevices of our own hearts. He mentions a number. What about discontent? What about impatience? What about ingratitude? What about envy or frustration that produces so many bad fruits? What about judging others? What about the sins of the tongue? There are many of them. Now, you need to be able to see where sin is active so that you can take action against it. Otherwise, you are entirely passive in relation to this whole area of the Christian life. So I'm asking you to try and identify, as we place ourselves under the Word of God, where is the battle in your life today? Where is it that you are most evidently being tempted? Where is it that you are being pulled? Where is it that you are being enticed? Where is the subversive activity of sin most obviously in operation in your life? Can you answer that question? Folks, you have to know that the biggest challenge in preaching the Word of God is that you cannot possibly bring anything to God's people by way of a challenge if you have not first sat under the Word of God yourself. That's why it is such a stretching thing. And so I am not asking you to do something that I have not been doing over these last days myself. I've been asking in this last week, in the course of preparing to speak to you today, I've been asking the Lord to search me and show me where sin is doing its sabotaging work in my own life. It has been profoundly helpful. I hope it will be to you. I've identified a number of areas. I hope you will too. One of them for me, and I had not really seen this before until I really got serious about praying it through this week. One area that I identified was self-pity, just the disposition to feel sorry for yourself. And it saps the life out of you. I felt this pulling me, so my antenna is up because I have to fight against it. I don't have to fight that all the time, but I do right now. Where's the battle for you right now? Where is it? Or are you completely unaware of any conflict whatsoever? You see, this is of huge importance if you're going to live the Christian life. Now, notice that we are tempted when by our own evil desire we are dragged away and enticed. Therefore, it will be quite different for different folks among us. But the common factor is that we will be enticed. We will be pulled into something that so easily becomes a pattern of thought or a pattern of behavior. Think with me for a moment about how sin entices. That's the word that James uses here. Satan, as it were, to use a fishing analogy, he baits the hook very, very well, presenting arguments to your mind as to why a particular behavior or a particular pattern of thought or a particular cherished attitude is something that you should pursue. And you will recognize these rationalizations from your own experience. Have you heard him whisper this one in your mind? God will forgive you. So now Satan tries to use the grace of God itself to lead you into more sin. Or have you heard this one in your mind? Hey, it's no big deal. Hey, it's just a bit of pride. It's just a little bit of impatience. Isn't everyone pretty impatient now and again? I mean, let's not get over scrupulous here. No big deal. What about this one? You're different. See, you're a special case. Have you ever had Satan suggest that into your mind? You know, you face unique pressures. You've got to be cut a little bit of a break. You're wired in a different way. What about this one? No harm will come from it. Of course, that one goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You will not surely die, he says to Eve. And of course, that was another lie. He masks sin's danger. And then what about this? You can always repent afterwards. That hides sin's effect. Do you remember earlier in the series we talked about how so easily we grasp sin as a stain like crayon on the wall? What we don't see so easily is that sin is like mold. It is corrosive. It is destructive. It's more than a stain. And so when Satan says, well, of course, you know, you can do this and then you can repent afterwards, what he blinds you to is the effect it has in your own soul. What about this? It's just this once, which masks sin's power, closes your eyes to the fact that once something has been broken through and into, the pull that you will experience next time is so much more. And what about this one? You know that you can't say no. You know that you'll give in the end, which is to lie by completely discounting the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So sin entices, and it does this in all kinds of different ways, and it does this in all kinds of different spheres. And so it is so important for us to be able to name it, to say, now, how is Satan operating? Where is the enemy at work? Let me search this enemy out. What's he up to? What's he up to in my life today? Not 10 years ago, but now. Second, not only does sin entice so that we need to name it and confess it, but quite clearly here we're told that sin grows, and because sin grows, we need to cut it back. We need to cut it back. Notice what he says, verse 15, sin when it is full grown. So James is making it very clear to us that sin is like a vigorous living root. It produces growth like a weed that is deeply rooted in the garden. If the growth of sin is not checked, what will happen is that it will progressively and gradually take over your life in the same way as unchecked weeds eventually take over a garden.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and unfortunately, we do have to pause the teaching here, but we're going to get back to this message, guerrilla warfare, in our next broadcast. Do hope you make it a point to tune in. And Colin, I have to admit, I'm really familiar with every one of those seven baits that you mentioned in today's message, and it can be really discouraging to battle against these over and over and over again.
Well, the aim is not to be discouraging here, but precisely the opposite. It's so important to grasp what success in the Christian life looks like. If a Christian says, well, now success is to be completely free from sin, we're never going to have any success, and that will be really, really discouraging.
Right.
So here's what success looks like. It's not that sin is eliminated from your life, but that gradually it is weakened. That single thought has been very, very helpful to me as I discovered it in John Owen, a great Christian writer. We're battling against sin. We're trying to move its position backward. Mm-hmm. We're trying to gain some ascendancy. It will never be gone, but its position may be weakened.
So for the believer who says, I still struggle with certain sins in my life, but they're not as intense, the temptations aren't as strong, and I'm not feeling as often, that's a good
success right there, okay. That you have gained a position, you have moved the ball forward, as it were, mm-hmm. and in God's mercy and in God's grace, you are gaining ascendancy in the battle. You'll never be out of it, this side of heaven.
Sure.
But thank God you can make progress.
All right. Well, this is the first half of a message called Guerrilla Warfare. And if you want to make sure that you don't miss our next broadcast or any future broadcasts for that matter, you can come to our website and sign up to podcast the program. You can also listen online by streaming the program or downloading an MP3 for free. Our website address is openthebible.org. That's openthebible.org. Well, for Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. What does it look like to make progress with a particular temptation? Find out next time on Open the Bible.